Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and it is week zero. Your Memphis Tigers on the road coming up Saturday night at night in Allegiant Stadium against UNLV, the Running Rebels. And joining me now, as he will every single Tuesday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, is head coach over at Memphis Football, Charles Huff, at Coach Huff on X. Coach Huff, how's it going?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Getting ready. Big preparation day. For us here, getting ready for a game this weekend.
Yeah, now, how was fall camp? Everybody in one piece? I don't need specifics, but everybody in one piece.
No, we are healthy. We feel good about, you know, the process we went through camp. We've kind of hit the road markers that we had planned to hit. Now we got to go play a game. You know, there's a difference between practicing and conditioning and, you know, and implementing installs, and there's – you got to go out and play. You know, you as a former player know, I mean, some of the best plays in football are made in practice that don't always make it to the game. There's a lot of positive. We feel good about, you know, coming out of fall camp, especially with the health that we're in, and now we got to go execute.
Now, I know this is going to blow you away, Coach, but you're being accused of being secret through this whole process. And I think on the other side with UNLV going into week zero, they're getting accused of the same things. But you said in your presser today it's by design. And
No, it's not being accused. I mean, I'm owning it.
It's not
an accusation. Of course. I am guilty of the crime.
Yes. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is earlier when you were sort of talking through this, I think when we see things like this as fans and media members, we just assume the mindset is, hey, we don't want UNLV to know our plans. But from hearing you talk about it earlier, that's part of it. But the internal dynamics seem to also play a role. How much different has the game changed even within the walls of a particular facility regarding putting out depth chart, naming starters?
Yeah, it's changed drastically. I mean, there's a small piece, you know, about your opponent, but that is so far away from the biggest piece now. We live in a transfer portal world, right? So as soon as a depth chart comes out, and somebody's listed as number two on the depth chart, that kid's agent and family is starting to say, well, you know, should we think about transferring? Let's try to find another place. We came here to start. You know, we thought we were going to be starting. And it has no bearing on the game. That kid may end up playing more plays than the starter. But that's just the dynamic we live in now, that all of a sudden these kids who have came here with these great thoughts and ideas of starting and winning awards and making big plays, they look at some piece of paper that goes out and says, well, I'm the number two. Well, you don't believe in me, coach, or I'm not going to get an opportunity. So there's a lot more that goes into play with those things and how you manage those things in-house. Yes, we have to deal with them. Yes, you know, when somebody doesn't play enough plays, their agents are going to be involved. But for us to be able to prepare this week and get as close to the game as we can with everybody with the right mental disposition without the outside noise, we want to try to protect our guys, right? It's a lot easier to say, hey, you were number two on the depth chart, but you caught two touchdowns and you had 150 yards receiving. Yep. Oh, yeah, I love it here, coach. I love it here. Yeah, you know, so again, there's some things that, you know, emotionally we're dealing with kids who have left and transferred from places for reasons. And it wasn't just because Memphis is this great city and program, right? It was – they were at a place, things obviously didn't go the way that they intended or liked. There were things that made them transfer. No one transferred here to be the number two. They all came in with the mindset of I'm going to play and start and do all these things. So sometimes the public perception of we want to know, and I get it from the fan perspective, doesn't always help us protect these kids in-house as long as we can.
Yeah. Now, I know preparation for the unknown, especially in the group of six, sort of, you know, transfer portal era, there's a lot of new players on each of these teams. So preparation for UNLV, I'll say this is me inserting an opinion. I think they're having a hellacious time trying to watch you guys on film. But for you guys, what does the film study look like considering the turnover year to year when you're heading into a season. Once you have some film on some of these teams, it becomes a lot easier. Who's starting? What schemes do they want to get into? Things of that nature. But being that this is the first game of the year, a lot of turnover on both rosters. How does sort of the film study and the preparation look?
Yeah, you're more or less looking at general philosophies and schemes from coaches. You're not really looking at, hey, this guy playing the left cornerback position, you know, does this really well or doesn't do this well. You're really looking at general schemes and consistent themes that show up on film so that you can prepare your guys from a schematic standpoint. You really can't say, and that's why everyone's kind of like, well, hey, what quarterback's going to play? Even either one of them that play, we don't have any film of them running UNLV offense.
Yep.
So even though, you know, he may be, oh, well, this guy's going to start, well, we can't AI him into UNLV film. So we're really just focused on us, right? What does our schemes, how do our schemes adjust? How do we fit our schemes to what they generally show? And then from the personnel standpoint, we've just got to go play our best. And if they've got a Dan Marino hidden over there, then we're going to find out on Saturday night. But we can't necessarily – you know, look back and watch a kid's junior college film or watch film when he was at another school because you don't know what they're being coached. You don't know if the schemes are the same. So we're more focused on us and what we can do and how we get our guys to play fast and recognize fast. And then Saturday, we're going to have to, you know, do what we do really well and then be able to respond.
Now, you've got some guys that came over with you from Southern Miss, from Marshall. You have familiarity with these guys. And you were asked about it a little bit earlier, and you said, well, you know, it's great to have those guys. They understand how I operate, maybe some of the staff members operate. But at the same time, you're doing it differently than you did at those two places. What can you tell me about sort of those changes and where you differ from your previous stops after having this fall camp and heading into a season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, and I'll give it just as small as we have four practice fields here. You know, so we're able, I mean,
right.
And I mean, that's a blessing, right? So resources, we have four practice fields here. So even the drills that we run, we're able to do more different drills. We don't have to wait until 7-on-7's done on one field to do team. We don't have to wait until, you know, individuals done in one drill to do another drill. So even the way we practice has changed. What we do in practice is similar, but how we do it is a lot different, right? We have the resources here to feed our guys multiple times a day, right? So now from a nutrition standpoint, we're requiring more of them when they check in for weight check-in on, you know, on Mondays or Tuesdays or whatever it is. From a medical standpoint, we have more resources, so we're requiring them to take care of their bodies better. So there's a Memphis way that our guys that have come with us from stop to stop have to be indoctrinated to and embrace. And then there's obviously the routine or the process that we have. But every time you get a chance to raise the level of resources, you got to adjust a little bit. We can't have the same practice schedule that we had when we had one field as we do when we have four fields. So those type of things are where even the guys that have been with us are having to adapt to the Memphis way.
Yeah, now our guy Devin Walker from Grind City Media asked this in your presser today, and I thought your answer was pretty funny. He was asking you about game day rituals for you and what you do heading into a Saturday game, what have you, and you said, worry. Very simple answer, I worry. And then you elaborated on it, but game day coaching and the mental space that comes along with it, not during practice where you seem to have control, you can, you know, put them in different areas, you can have them work on what you need them to work on. Game day coaching in specific, when it comes to the mental space that comes along with it, could you take me and my listeners sort of through your mental sort of thought process heading into game day?
Yeah, I'm trying to take what I've seen guys do consistently in practice and then put them in positions to do that in a game. Like, for example, if I've seen a guy who has dropped a slant route in practice multiple times, I'm trying not to put him in that right situation in the game and expect him to catch it, right? So I'm trying to who has made a mistake in practice and their head went down and they got down on themselves and it took them two or three plays to respond? Because when that happens to that kid in a game, I got to tell that coach, hey, get him out for a second because he's not going to be able to respond as fast. who is the guy that, when the moment got big, jumped off sides in practice because he was so anxious to, you know, go make a play? Well, I'm on the sideline yelling at that kid, hey, Johnny, ball key, ball key, ball key. So I'm trying to take all of the litmus test and experience and feedback that I've gotten from these kids over the last 6 months and apply it to game situations to protect them, right? And to give our coaches understanding, hey, we haven't done a great job in short yardage all camp. So if we get in a short yardage situation, we may want to think about doing something different, or we may be prepared to punt, right? So those are the things that in a game, like I'm actually doing on the sideline, I'm trying to remember and think about what situations in practice or what situations in a workout this summer where a guy got out of his mental disposition because it got a little hot, or a guy who was able to stay calm and collected in a situation, because when it shows up in the game, they're going to do exactly what they've done in practice. I tell my coaches all the time, don't expect them to do anything different. If he didn't catch it in practice, he's not going to catch it on a game day. So don't think that all of a sudden he's going to be a great catcher of this route. So I'm trying to remember and manage the game from that perspective. Hey, our guys don't do great in when they see a certain formation, you know, this or that, bang, call a timeout. Hey, our guys do really, really good, you know, after they catch a ball and he gets, you know, gets his energy going. Okay, hey, keep him in the game, you know. So that's kind of how I'm trying to manage the game, on top of obviously clock situations and, hey, are we playing too many plays on defense? Do we need to slow it down on offense? Those type of things. But I'm more dealing with the mental disposition of what I've seen guys consistently do to try to put them in situations in the game to be successful.
All right, since you coached under Saban, and I saw some social media posts with watch lists coming out this week, you included the rat poison emojis. What is and what isn't rat poison? Is it any accolade and recognition before games are played, or is it deeper than that?
Well, I think it's anything that is recognizing past success before current consistency. Right. Anybody can make a watch list preseason, right? I mean, that's something you're getting rewarded for something you did last year. Okay, that's awesome. And I want our guys to get those accolades. But if that changes how you continue to prepare for what you're getting ready to do, then it's like eating rat poison, right? You're taking this thing that's ultimately going to make you sick. Right. So, yeah, I want our guys to get acknowledged for the things that they've done in the past. But you're at Memphis now. Or you're in Memphis in 2026, even if you've been here before. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do this season? What are you going to do this week? So if it affects your current mindset, current work habits, current consistency, then it's rat poison. Some of our guys are able. We had one player, I won't tell you
sure.
who it was, but he got nominated for a list, and he said, Coach, I don't even know what that means. I said, that's awesome. Continue doing what you're doing. So some players are able to manage it. Some players, all of a sudden, once they start getting recognition, it's kind of like, you know, some O-lineman, once you lose weight and you start getting talked to by girls at the club, all of a sudden now you're like, man, I'm the guy. Well, you're the same person, you know. So hopefully our guys are able to manage it. I do want our guys to get all the acknowledgement for the things that they have done, but I don't want that to affect them for what they still have to do this year.
Now, last thing for Charles Huff, head football coach over at the University of Memphis. And trust me, I wish the entire conversation could just be about ball and going into week zero. But listen, like, I have to sneak this one in here. 5-for-5 injunctions are taking over the news cycle around college football. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on sort of what we're seeing?
Yeah, I'm going to be as aggressive as I possibly can any chance I get to improve the University of Memphis football team roster. At the same time, I'm going to be steady moving forward slowly until we get some solidified rules or we get some solidified answers, right? Because you jump out there because of one, you know, court case, and then another court case, you know, bans that. So we're going to be aggressive. I'm not pro or con. Tell me what the rules are, and we're going to play by them. So if the rules change daily, if they move the field to 110 yards, then we're going to play with 110 yards. But we're also not going to move so fast that we end up doing something before we get some solid, solidified rules. Yeah. So I think it's our job as coaches to play by the rules that they give us. But also be mindful that you can't put the cart before the horse. You got to make sure that the rules or the cases or the judgments that come out are actually worthy of standing on, not something that comes out this week and gets changed next week.
Yep, seems fair enough. Well, Coach, good luck coming up this weekend. I'll see you in Vegas.
All right, man. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all your listeners, man. Appreciate you, man. We try to go out there and get you one, buddy.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Appreciate it, Coach Huff. You can go follow Coach on X at Coach Huff. And, of course, watch them on Fox coming up this Saturday on the road in Allegiant Stadium against UNLV. Every single week on Tuesday when we bring on Coach Huff, he will be powered by Landers Ford. Very, very pleased to bring Landers Ford on as a partner here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. They're your number one Ford dealer in the Mid-South with four convenient locations in Collierville, Covington, South Haven. They have their newest location in the heart of the city just off I-240 on Mount Moriah. And for over 20 years, they have provided vehicles for the FedEx St. Jude Championship Golf Tournament. The pros drive them when they're here in town. And now you can drive them off the lot and into your driveway. Explorers are up to 20% off. Expeditions up to 10% off. Demo priced at Landers Employee Pricing. You pay the same price as my buddy, General Manager Brad Bellamy, would pay. And a portion of the proceeds for each sale goes to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. This is also the last week for the Ford Summer Savings Event, 2.9% for 84 months on all 2026 F-150 Plus, up to $8,500 off, and a complimentary two-year premium maintenance plan. Shop one of the largest selections of new Fords in the Mid-South, including Bronco, Bronco Sport, Super Duty, Mustang, Ranger, and Maverick. Check out all their selection of almost 500 pre-owned vehicles as well.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Get started now at LandersFordMemphis.com. The price you see is the price you pay. No hidden addendums. That's the Landers Ford difference. And always remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. Let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll get to the Blitz next.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.